Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast made by fans like you, for fans like you. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. I'm your host, Joe Kuzma, and folks, it's Bengals week. Are they really a rival? I'm always talking about this. Concerned about a few things. But you know what? It's really bothering me this week. I'm really geeked up for this game. Steelers' last regular season game on the road for this year. Steelers, of course, looking to make it five straight, ripping off four in a row after losing four in a row. Kind of like the sound of that. For everyone who said fire Tomlin and everything, this team's healthy. I hope they stay healthy. Because if you remember, the last time we saw these two teams compete in week two at Heinz Field, Vontaze Burfict and Le'Veon Bell both suspended. Now we'll both be in this game. It's going to be a different dynamic. But the Cincinnati Bengals, 5-7-1, against the 8-5 Pittsburgh Steelers, like I said, on a streak. They kind of match up a little differently. The Steelers are 4-3 now on the road. Three of their last four that they've won on the road. They're going to finish out this season all against AFC North opponents. All of these games critical. Chance to own this division and get at least one home playoff game should they win it. Cincinnati Bengals, 3-2-1. Ah, I hate ties. Geez, Cincinnati. It's like every year Cincinnati's going to be the one that, you know, what was that, the kiss your sister thing? Tired of it. But now we're going to see Pittsburgh at their full strength, and it looks like, with the exception of losing Cam Hayward, looks like defense is coming on, and hopefully the offense comes on here as well. May even have D'Angelo Williams for this game. We're going to have to see how this shakes out with the injury updates. Looks like, at least over the last few days, the only two players who are probably sitting for sure, Darius Heyward-Bey, Shamarco Thomas. Shamarco's always got new injuries. We cover that all the time. D'Angelo Williams did not practice on Thursday, though I do believe he was limited on Wednesday. However, the issues with the left guard, we have Ramon Foster practicing in full, B.J. Finney back in full. I guess Marcus Gilbert got banged up playing indoors, an ankle or something. He was limited in practice the previous day, but back in full. Javon Hargrave, also a full participant, looking to come back off of the concussion protocol. Looks like Steelers will definitely be armed and ready to go. 18 sacks in their last four games. They went from the bottom of the league all the way up to 11th, and that's not all. Because this Cincinnati Bengals team has given up a ton of sacks this year. Andy Dalton getting thrown around like a rag doll while their offensive line has not, I want to say underperformed, but I'm not sure that's really the word for it. Granted, there are some teams that have done worse, but you're hard-pressed to find too many. 36 sacks on Andy Dalton this year. A running game that isn't necessarily the strongest. Giovanni Bernard now on the shelf. They look like they're going to get A.J. Green back. He has been limited in practice, but they're expecting him back. He had always been a Steelers killer up until the game played earlier in September in Pittsburgh, where he was shut down. Eight targets, only two catches. So we're going to see how this is going to shake out, because the Steelers defense, I think, finally coming into their own, like I said. They're still 21st in defensive pass yards. They're fourth against the run. And they're 12th. They're plus two takeaway differential. They only allow the ninth most points. Cincinnati only allows the 11th most. But Cincinnati's offense has been, as I said, with the offensive line, struggling. They will have Tyler Eifert. That is somebody they did not have in that first matchup as well. So while they lose their running back, their guy that's kind of the utility guy, the guy they throw the ball a lot to, in Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill is now the bell cow. This Cincinnati offense ranked 23rd in the league, while the Steelers are 12th. So this is going to be an interesting game. It could be very close. You see pass yards, Cincinnati's 11th, Steelers are 8th. Rush yards, Cincinnati's 8th, the Steelers are 9th. Very, very intriguing dynamics. But where it really boils down to is Cincinnati's 12th against the pass and 25th against the run. And when you take a look at those numbers and see what the Steelers did last week against a very good Buffalo Bills run defense, I think you're going to realize that, well, it's the Le'Veon Bell show. Let's just boil that straight down to what the Steelers, man, I'm all over the place, folks. I really am. This is very hard for me to, having watched this happen twice, 2 years in a row, being 2014 and 2015, where the Steelers play the Bengals and somebody injures Le'Veon Bell. So this is what just popped into my brain, and it was very difficult for me to talk about how great Le'Veon Bell can be, because I almost want to just sit him for the game. And that sounds insane. This guy is a special talent. There's no way he's sitting. So I hope the Steelers get an early lead in this game, because I don't want to see Bell get hurt. I don't want to see Brown get hurt. None of the killer bees. You need all of these guys out there. And Vontaze Burfict is the type of human being. I wrote about this. This is up on SteelCityUnderground.com with film, with video. I urge you to check this out. Got a lot of people in Cincinnati, something like that, Northern Kentucky, making fun of the fact that it's in Southern Ohio. I live in Northeast Ohio, actually, about a little less than an hour from Pittsburgh. I'm there all the time, though. Might not be on Christmas if you heard the WTF podcast the other day, the first one we ran. A lot of fun I had there with Terry, but I don't like that Cincinnati is in the same state boundary. And really, when you go down there, it's really part of Kentucky. It's not even a joke, really. There's only just a river that separates it. So that's actually bad. I feel bad for the people of Kentucky. I don't like saying that. I think I use that joke all the time. But Le'Veon Bell, 140 touches over the last four games, 823 total yards and 5 touchdowns. He's averaging 206 yards per game, 35 touches per game. And we talked about how he mounted for over, I mean, easily, I mean, as you could see, he's over half the offense with the Buffalo Bills. But literally the second half was Le'Veon Bell, either throwing him the ball or handing it off. And the one time they didn't, they gave it to Fitz Toussaint, and he picked up 6 yards. So having Le'Veon Bell is a big deal. Did not have him the last two times the Steelers played the Bengals. That would be in earlier this year and in the playoffs last year. And Antonio Brown was knocked out of that game too. Then we might see something a little different. I'm expecting Ladarius Green to show up in this game too. The Steelers just stopped. They didn't need to throw the ball against Buffalo. They were trying to get Green a little involved. They had targeted him in the end zone as well. I think Ladarius Green has the ability to make the big plays that Martavis Bryant made against the Bengals in previous years. I think that's something to look for. I think Antonio Brown, despite what all of these Bengals are saying on defense, you got Carlos Dunlap and Pac-Man Jones and even Marvin Lewis saying that the 1 year that we don't even count this year that James Harrison left the Steelers and he played in Cincinnati. I mean, he was ready to retire after that. Can't say that I blame him. Little inside joke of having to play with Cincinnati. He said Vontaze Burfict looked up to him like a big brother. They're saying Pac-Man Jones saying that Antonio Brown's going to be his Hall of Famer. What are they sugarcoating here? All this, are they trying to kill us with niceness, blowing smoke up our rear ends? We don't want to hear any of this garbage from you. It's great that the opponents can respect each other. And we were even talking about players exchanging jerseys and maybe being a little too friendly, you know, in front of the cameras instead of behind the scenes. We like to think that they're mortal enemies and gladiators ready to knock each other's heads off. I'm not necessarily thinking that the Bengals and the Steelers are totally like that. But for overall, there's been some nasty things that have happened. This is the same Pac-Man Jones that claimed Antonio Brown was faking a concussion after his, I don't know the proper term, hooligan maybe, buddy, Vontaze Burfict, the guy they always defend. Marvin Lewis cannot figure this out, and this was in my article too. He does not understand the reputation. Neither is Paul Guenther. These guys are all on record saying. Andrew Whitworth says, I don't know why people don't point out Mike Mitchell. That was the whole point of the article with the film clips. They try and say Mike Mitchell is a dirty player. Mike Mitchell plays within the rules. He's been fined here or there, seldom flagged, hits hard, and has concern, compassion, sympathy for the guys that he ends up hurting. He goes over to the sideline and sees how T.Y. Hilton is doing on Thanksgiving, because this is a violent game. But it doesn't mean within the brotherhood of professional football players, the guys who hang out like Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown, chilling with each other, going on Facebook Live or whatever they were on, and exchanging jerseys after the game and laughing and giggling and yucking it up. And, you know, we don't like, I would much prefer see that, as much as I say that we like to think these guys take each other's heads off, than see somebody like Vontaze Burfict lower a boom on a defenseless Max Williams off the ball, or go low on Martellus Bennett away from the play, or stomp on LeGarrette Blount following, I think it was like an extra point or a field goal attempt or something of that nature. Just stomping on him, or giving Ben a knee strike on the ground like this is UFC. The ultimate fighting, the cage fighting. For those of you who don't follow the mixed martial arts, I don't really either. But ground and pound stuff. This is a guy who knocked over a camera and a cameraman, a television camera on live TV. Vontaze Burfict, that is. And we're trying to say that his behavior is acceptable and within the rules of playing football. If it happens after a whistle, it is dirty. If it happens away from the play, is unnecessary, a cheap shot, it is dirty. Mike Mitchell does not lead with his helmet and try to take a wide receiver's head off like Burfict did against Antonio Brown. These are the things that concern me, is because the Bengals seem to lack respect no matter how much they're pouring it on, saying this guy's great and this guy's good, Ben Roethlisberger, we respect Antonio Brown. Baloney. I don't buy it. You could say it all you want in the media leading up to this game, which was pulled from a Sunday night game because the Cincinnati Bengals are terrible this year. Marvin Lewis should be on the hot seat for sure. I don't know how this guy continues to keep a job and his staff that lets these guys run around like it's an insane asylum. Proven on the field on Sunday. And let's see our boys play hard, but play fair. Because if there's any dirty crap that happens, and there's only 2 weeks left in the season, especially heading into what could be the de facto AFC North Division Championship game on Christmas Day between the Steelers and Ravens, and the Steelers end up playing that game shorthanded, maybe miss an opportunity at the playoffs, or let's just say they run the table, and then they have to play shorthanded like they did when they ran when they won the North in 2014 and didn't have Le'Veon Bell for that game. One man does not a team make, but geez, when you're taking away the best players that are on the football field with dirty and cheap and just careless play on the field, this is how guys earn their money. Some of these guys don't have guaranteed contracts. When you take them out, this is how they put food on the table. It is a violent sport in very many ways by its nature, but it doesn't have to be ugly and dirty and disgusting to where people are spitting on each other and reaching into their face masks and stomping on them and twisting ankles. There is no room for that. In a professional, the emphasis, I always talk about the quotes in the air like Dr. Evil. That's usually something that's reserved for when I'm mocking something. This time it's an emphasis on professional football and professional football players. Show me that you mean what you say, Cincinnati. And it gets away from the X's and O's and the keys to this game, but this is definitely the thing I am most concerned with this Sunday, is the Steelers walking out of this game healthy. Now, what's interesting is, Eric Herman has a piece coming out on this that'll be up on SteelCityUnderground.com about how the Bengals are the least penalized team in the NFL. So maybe they aren't. Maybe they're just not getting caught with some of the dirty play. I think the Martellus Bennett thing was completely missed. I know the Garrett Blunt thing was perfect, getting a fine. He's been fined a handful of times. There's a list of it in that same Mike Mitchell-style article. So the Bengals have improved a little bit on both sides of the ball, but it's a little too late. If they have A.J. Green, that's another weapon. I think the Steelers, this is a nice little test. Will they shut down A.J. Green again? Can they make a statement? Can they get another win on the road? Ben Roethlisberger has been awful on the road this year, with the exception of the Indianapolis Colts game. He's had terrible ratings. Let me get some numbers for you. Ben, in his previous, and even against the Bengals, he hasn't been necessarily the best. Let's see, 7 road games, 8 interceptions, and then even against the Bengals, I'm stealing a little bit from you, Brian Roach, who's written the preview that's also up on SteelCityUnderground.com, through 2 against the Bengals. His road average is 79.69. And that's even, as we said, with that huge game in Indy, it was 146. At home, he's 115.76. Buffalo, he was 37.8. So maybe the bugs are worked out, and they'll be A-OK. I expect a big game, though. They're going to step up. They're going to grab this thing by its throat, and they're going to take what's theirs. It's got to happen. It's got to happen or the season's going to be over. You don't want to be tied heading into a game for all the marbles with the Ravens and the Steelers. As fun, as exciting as that might be, Baltimore's had their number. Steelers can afford to lose another game, but they can't be tied with the Ravens in record, because right now the Ravens have the tiebreaker. And you can't allow Baltimore to sweep you for the season. So they have to take care of business first here in Cincinnati. They have to play mistake-free football, because usually they're their own worst enemy. They left points on the table in Buffalo. Those interceptions. Ben knows it. I'm not saying anything that he isn't aware of. And he knows it way better than I do anyway. So some quick things. Just history between the Steelers and the Bengals. The Steelers lead the series no matter where it's played. Overall, 57-35. If it's in Pittsburgh, it's 31-16. If it's in Cincinnati, it's 26-19. So that's pretty huge. They've met 22 times in this month of December, and the Steelers lead that 5-2 when they're on the road in the month of December against them. So, very interesting. The Steelers, in their last meeting, Ben Roethlisberger did have 259 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. He has 8 passing touchdowns versus 4 interceptions and a 96.9 rating in the past 5 games against the Bengals. Of course, Le'Veon Bell breaking all those records last week. We'll see what he can do again. Antonio Brown has 204 receiving yards in the past 2 games against Cincinnati. And then, of course, Sammy Coates, who has disappeared since hurting his hand, he too had a big game against the Bengals. And that second game of the year for the Steelers, 97 receiving yards. We saw a TD out of Xavier Grimble. James Harrison just pouring it on. Franchise leader in sacks, has 5 in his last 6. Played every snap last Sunday. Bud Dupree played all but one and had two sacks. Actually, I think Bud moved up to 2.5. There was a stat correction, which really shortchanged Sean Davis. I think they took like a sack and a half away from him. Artie Burns leads the NFL rookies with 3 picks this year. Andy Dalton has been stellar as well against the Steelers defense in his last 3 games. He has 102.4 rating with 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions. He's also second in the AFC with 3,555 passing yards. Jeremy Hill against the Browns had 142 scrimmage yards last week in a rushing touchdown. Actually, the interesting stat about Jeremy Hill is that since 2015, he's second in the NFL with 19 rushing touchdowns. Very interesting. Tyler Eifert has had 4 touchdown catches in the last 3 games that he's played against the Steelers. Tyler Boyd's been pretty good. Geno Atkins had 2 sacks last week. Vontaze Burfict has had 10 tackles in 2 of his past 3 against the Steelers. In his past 6, he's had 63 tackles, so he's good for 2.5 a game. 5 pass deflections, 2 picks, and a forced fumble over 6 games. A lot of these things from last week. George Iloka had an interception last week. Who cares? He played the Browns. Bring on the real game here. These next few are going to be very interesting. So this is going to be a game, a battle of field position. Talked about the great game that Rosie Nix had. Jordan Berry has been doing very well. We've seen the sky kicks from Chris Boswell. Talk a lot about special teams. This is really setting the plate for the Steelers defense, which has been on fire, as we mentioned. All these different sacks all over the last handful of games. Steelers have not trailed a single second over the last 4 games as well. So, my ideal situation for Sunday: get the lead early, chew up the clock, pull the main event guys, the Killer Bees. Just, I want them off the field. Want a nice 24 to 30 point cushion. Let's throw Landry Jones out there and the fourth quarter and keep everyone healthy and safe for Christmas Day to win this division. This is the first of a couple steps, several steps. I hate even overlooking Cleveland, but you know what? We don't know what Baltimore is going to do. Baltimore ends up losing one of these games coming up. Let's say they lose to the Eagles on Sunday, their last home game, because then they have to finish out coming to Pittsburgh and then going to Cincinnati. And we won't know that last week necessarily what to do. But Baltimore loses again, and then the Steelers beat them. The Steelers could sit, they could play with their backups and get some rest against the Browns for the on New Year's Day. That would be pretty awesome. I'm really looking in the crystal ball, looking way ahead down the road because they got to take care of business. But I am most concerned about the shenanigans that could go on Sunday with the likes of Pac-Man or Vontaze Burfict. So I'm going to leave it at that, folks. Thank you once again for tuning in. Just amazing the amount of support that we've been getting. Absolutely humbled and floored by it. Go Steelers. Sunday, statement game. Last game on the road. Let's make it 5 in a row. Until next time, be safe, be good, and I will catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.